Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
And you're very welcome back. 087 032 32 32 is on the WhatsApp. Now, it's described as being a little bit like Bosco meets the Stranger Things. Or Stranger Things, no definite article. RTÉ1's brand new four-part mini-series is called The Unreal. It's a family-friendly, spooky series. The final episode aired yesterday evening, but all the episodes are available on the RTÉ player. Let's have a little listen to it to get into the mood.
Can you go out and talk to him?
He's grand.
I just think maybe he's acting up because you two don't spend much time together these days.
Look, I'm just having a bit of a hard time at the minute. How would you feel if you were fired from your job?
I'm not having a go, but this started before they let you go.
What are you talking about?
You have to admit, you're not yourself. You're sleeping more. You barely spend any time with me or the kids. Tom, it's okay if you're feeling depressed.
Okay, look. If it's that important to you, I'll go out and I'll talk to Kevin. Okay? Cool.
He'll come around eventually.
He'll come around eventually. That's the serious end to The Unreal, but there's a lot of fun to be had as well during the four episodes, all of which I've seen and I've very, very much enjoyed. I'm joined in studio by two stars of the show. Actor, comedian and writer Joe McGuckin is with us. Welcome, Joe.
How are you keeping?
Who plays Tom.
I do.
And Catherine McKiernan plays Mary. And I'm almost feeling like saying, you're back. It was a real pleasant surprise to see. That's the Catherine McKiernan. We know her from the telly.
Oh,
and she looks the same.
actor,
broadcaster, radio presenter as well, which of course is doing a lot of it. It's a good show. For people who haven't seen it yet, and a lot of people have because they've been in touch on the text here the last 2 weeks. It's a family of four and it's very relatable. Either one of you, tell us.
Well, Catherine, you have notes in front of you, so why don't you go for it?
Wait to help me there. Yes, it's very much family viewing now. It's perfect for the Halloween binge
for the whole
family because it's all up there now on the player. So yeah, it's a spooky new comedy drama set around the Kelly family. Myself and Joe play the husband and wife, and we have two kids, and Kevin, who's played by Senan Jennings, a wonderful actor, and we go on an off season holiday, and Kevin finds this videotape and first asks, what is this? And after figuring it out, he plays it. He unleashes a character into the world, a strange creature known as the Pooka, who causes a lot of mischievousness, if you will, which isn't a word. And he, of course, causes lots of chaos. Kevin gets the blame, and we don't believe Kevin that it's the Pooka's fault. But he joins up with a very eccentric caretaker character.
That's right.
Who they try to send the Pooka back to the show where it
she's
came
like
from.
A scary version of Biddy and Glenroe.
That's perfect.
She's quite a nice, charming caretaker. And then there is a massive twist at the end of episode two.
Yeah,
and
it's the beginning of a bizarre supernatural story. Yeah.
The reviews have been brilliant. And people are talking about it, and it's sometimes unfair because people go, oh, it's an Irish thing that actually we really love and enjoy. Yeah. It's like there actually have been quite a few over the years, but maybe some of the critics who bash RTÉ in particular and Irish family dramas, the fact they're saying nice things about it has extra currency.
Yeah, I know we're biased, but it is a beautiful piece of work.
It's really nice. It's really, really nice because obviously when you're filming it, you know the scenes that you're in, but it's so interesting watching everyone else. With the scenes that I'm not in, obviously I wasn't there for those scenes, so it's even great.
You just didn't watch any.
Yeah, I
didn't. You skipped through, do you?
This is not for me. But it's great to see the scenes that I'm not in that are just acted. It's obviously a family kind of kids show, but like the topics that are covered in it kind of touch everyone of all ages, so it's great for that.
Yeah, because your vital subplot and it's the dad's mood and your health is actually a very important.
Yeah, that wasn't actually in the script. I just brought that myself. my character is kind of suffering from depression because he lost his job, and he's kind of struggling with his identity and his role as a father and. How can you be a father if you don't have a job? And what actually, it's complex.
Yeah.
I said, for a kids or for a family show, and to get that all across in four episodes as well.
I'm amazed by that, because if you add all the episodes up, the actual screen time, it's an hour and a half or whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm.
And there's a lot covered in there.
Yeah.
And just the dad taken to the bed every now and again.
Yeah, yeah. It's very real to life, true to life.
Yeah. But it is, sadly, and like, because we know you from your very surreal comedy and lots of hijinks and sometimes big acting required. Whereas this is like, it requires lots of subtleties. It's the hardest kind of thing to do. So brilliant performances by the pair of you.
Well, I'd say that's down to Bonnie, the director, because when I, like, the first day, I brought, like, such comedy, and I was like, well, what's going on, guys? Let's go on a holiday. And it was like, okay, tone it down, Joe. You depressed her. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Try find a middle ground here.
You've talked about mental health struggles as well in the past, haven't you, yourself?
Yeah, so I suffered myself with depression in the past and kind of had to present myself to A&E and stuff. So, and I have two kids, so I know what it's like to kind of battle with that and try feel like the man, try feel like
you're
a capable parent. Yeah.
So you were able to bring all of that to it. Very close to home.
Yeah, definitely.
Except your kids are younger, are they? There?
I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, yeah, okay, two boys.
So later in life you can show them.
Well, they've watched this one.
They've
been able to watch this one. And I wasn't sure about the 3-year-old watching it, but he absolutely loves it. And the 6-year-old loves it as well. And it is tense and it is a little bit scary.
Yeah.
It is a bit scary, yeah.
But it lifts the scariness, like the puka.
Did the 3-year-old think the puka was good crack? It was terrifying for the rest of us.
Yeah.
At the start, the 3-year-old, at the start, like it's really scary. Like you have to hold the 3-year-old close, but then I don't want to spoil it too much. I don't want to give it away too much.
But it is like a big, giant, scary Bosco.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely leans into those, yeah, old TV shows we all loved as kids. Like Twilight Zone, Doctor Who, Bosco. Yeah.
Yeah.
It balances that spooky, like, comedy with real life concerns, I guess. Like, it's really reflective, I think, of Ireland today, because Kevin, our son, has to really encounter some extreme views and prejudice, and then we've got a tech obsessed daughter, and Joe suffers. Tom suffers in the
played
show.
By Joe.
Yeah, and then me as the mom, like she's the typical mammy trying to hold it all together, trying to keep the family together. And
you've some great meltdowns.
Wonderful. I enjoyed them way too much, Oliver.
Yes,
if I'm honest.
I don't
have kids at the moment, so like I don't know where I got the inspiration from.
Yeah. It was very, very convincing.
But yeah, I got to really have fun. I have to say, yeah, with the poor family.
Was this like a strange one for you? Because there's a kind of an homage, isn't there, to old time telly in Ireland.
Mm.
And you were at the very end of that, really, weren't you? You were on The Den. You were one of the presenters. There weren't many presenters of The Den, but you were one of them.
That was so exciting to be working with someone from The Den. She brought in a badge. I always wanted to get, like, you know, they had the lucky bags.
Yeah, the goodie bags.
I always wanted one of them. I was always like writing in letters and stuff, and I really wanted one. And then one day, Catherine brought in a Den badge, and I swear to God, it made everything work.
Ructions on the set.
Yes.
People love that stuff.
Yeah, the characters' kids, the parents you're playing, their kids are looking back at this old world going, what's going on here? Tapes and these strange, which
characters.
Was very much telly only for kids.
Absolutely.
Whereas now the family entertainment is for everybody, isn't that the big change? But you did 5 years, didn't you?
5 years. Yeah,
you
yeah.
You did five I, years. Absolutely. You did five years.
What did you do? What was the crime?
Yeah, it was the days of Dustin and Socky, so it was the best crack. Yeah, I had an absolute ball. It feels like a lifetime ago. Like I was 19 when I got it, and it just was a dream. It absolutely was a dream. But I'm so proud to have been part of that. It's such an amazing institution to have been part of.
You were the last presenter of The Den.
Yeah, one
you
of the last. Thanks, Oliver.
That's where she got 5 years for.
Tell nobody.
Oh, no, it's great. That's a lovely legacy to have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, I'm very proud of it for sure. Yeah.
And what did you do after that?
I left the country.
She killed it then.
She was wanted.
She ported
no,
her.
Everyone was like, why aren't you on the telly anymore? I was like, right, I'll book the next plane out of here. I'm joking, but I'm sort of serious.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
I went travelling and lived
abroad. It's austerity
abroad.
Time, isn't it? It's crash time, 2010.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you travelled around the world, but you did the thing we all talk about.
Yeah, I really just was so keen to travel and to see the world and to run away for a while, I guess, but had the best time. I lived in New Zealand and Australia, and Canada was the last country, and I'm home about 3 years now, so delighted. I always knew I'd come back to Ireland and live here permanently, but I enjoyed every inch of my travels away.
How long was your travels in total then? Is the best?
Oh god,
it was a decade, is it?
Yeah, about. I was back and forth, but yeah, about that I would have been out of Ireland. Yeah, it's mad to think about now.
You worked
really,
on children's TV in New Zealand.
I did, yeah.
What is the culture of that
and
like,
or
compared to what we do?
Yeah, it was called Sticky TV.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Need I say to two comedians?
I feel like I handed that to you. But it was their equivalent of the Den in New Zealand, and honestly, it was the most insane thing because that was the first country I lived in, and I don't know why, but I went back into kids' telly. I couldn't get enough of it. But yeah, very much like here. Actually, I don't know if it's still in existence, but I suppose I had such incredible experience here that they were delighted, even though they couldn't understand me. There was struggles there, but
lovely girl with red hair.
Yeah, that was and she's Irish. Because
I was wondering an Irish accent. You don't hear about many Irish people thriving in the New Zealand media market.
No.
That's what I was
kind of
curious about.
Yeah, but I did my best. And then, to be honest, I realised, I don't know how long I did there, but I was like, right, time to head off now and do something completely different, because I haven't come to the other side of the world to do what I was doing at home. So I ended up going off and doing a ski season, and then I moved to Australia. And so, yeah, I did all sorts of everything. I always kept like my finger in the performing pie, if you will. But coming home, I just thought I'd give the acting thing and back to presenting and stuff. I'm on radio and that. So, yeah, I do a bit of all sorts. But it was nice to go away and do mad stuff altogether.
But you're doing the media thing again, which is incredible to keep it going, because sometimes the children's TV presenters, they don't manage to keep the career going.
Yeah.
98 FM you're on.
I am, yes. And I didn't know whether you could say that. Is something going to explode here or something?
Oh, no, they're all switching off, right? Discovered it exists again.
98 FM. I absolutely love it. I'm relatively new to the industry, but I absolutely love it. Yeah,
well, the performance here is great. You should be very proud of the
Unreal. Thank you. Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
People are already asking. This is a question now. Please ask them. Talk about the puka. I've heard the word been spoken about, but I'd like to know what the puka is exactly.
Yeah.
That's a challenge now for all of us, isn't
it? Yeah, I think you described it as kind of Bosco at the start. It's like Bosco meets, I don't know, like a...
Well, it's an old Irish pagan,
mythical Irish
creature,
from
which
Irish
takes many forms. There was a puka statue. Remember in Clare, they tried to unveil,
really,
and it was too terrifying, and they put it into a museum instead. It was a goat's head.
Yeah, that's right. It used to
legs.
shapeshift into animals, in folklore. Yeah, and I think it's really varied, the stories around the puka.
Whereas in the Unreal, the version of the puka is kind of the scary Bosco version.
Yeah.
But life size, like human size, big head,
ginger
red
hair. Important to say.
Big eyes. Because the videotape is from the 80s, so they were all weird sort of puppet characters, and they were all sort of terrifying. I don't know if that was intentional by the creators, but it's nightmare fuel. Like when you actually look back at some of
them. Think of the stuff that we used to watch as kids, that weird bordered on the edge of scary. When you look at it now, you think, how did we look at this? I mean,
Dustin is terrifying, objectively.
It's so true, So it does kind of, there's definitely a homage to old kids' TV on the Unreal.
Oh God, I'm starting to think of Pacho. Would either of you remember Pacho? Pacho's Jukebox?
No.
On a Scratch Saturday was the show.
Oh, yes, Chris Sutter,
They have a song.
And was it terrifying?
Wash Your Socks for Christmas. Well, I'm trying to think now. Patrick was kind of like a large rat, I think.
Why? You know,
that's terrifying.
It's mad,
like,
isn't
you know what
it?
Would be hilarious for the kids now? Big giant talking rat.
It's like a big inside joke. Let's make something that's going to terrify the kids.
But I love that mix of spooky and comedy that The Unreal has. It's got that. And as you said, even your kids watching, Joe, it's that lovely, like, they're scared, but then they're laughing. You know, it's that lovely balance, isn't it?
Yeah. My kids are having an existential crisis because they're like, what if we're not real? It's so complex in their little heads that they're like, They don't know what reality is anymore.
It's complicated for the rest of us since we saw the Truman Show as well.
Yes.
Maybe we're just an experiment. Listen, you're involved in a project, Joe, which involves the history of all of us who grew up in the 80s and being in pubs for too long. But hold that thought, because we're going to have to take a quick break and we'll be back in a jiffy.
From the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by itsforwomen.ie. Irish online car insurance that's driven to offer big discounts and even bigger rewards.